Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're ready to hear from you. We're ready to have our lives spoken to. We're ready, Father, to have our lives impacted, changed. And God, we confess here this morning that we believe in you. We believe that Jesus is alive, and that he reigns, and that he's Lord. We want today, Father, for him to be worshipped and magnified and raised up high so that we would see him even better. So, Father, our prayer now is we do believe, but Father, help our unbelief. Make us like you. God, please don't let us make you out to be a liar, as our text will say today. We beg you to come and work, Father. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, turn with me back to 1 John, if you will, please. 1 John chapter 1. We began there last week and we're going to be there for a while. I hope you're getting accustomed to hearing the Word of God preached and really eagerly looking for it. I love reading through Exodus like we're doing. I feel myself getting caught up in the narrative and loving the story of Moses already, and we're only in chapter 2. And I hope that we're seeing that we have such a need as Christians for the Word of God. We want more of it, more of it, more of it. And so the more that we can get, the better. And the more Scripture that comes into us, the more that's coming out of us towards God. And I hope that you're desiring that as well. 1 John chapter 1, we'll be going through verses 5 through 10, finishing out chapter 1 here today. I'm amazed that over the last 22 months, how aware I've become of what has to be one of God's greatest gifts, and I'm careful to not say the greatest. With that, I say the gift of being a parent. I'm amazed at how much I love J.J. and Eli. It's too good to be true that God has given me little ones to me and Valeria that are ours, that we can raise up and our responsibility and the joy that they bring to our lives. And here recently, we've been able to take them to the zoo. We've been going to the zoo, and I just can't even tell you the joy, the excitement, the smile, the love that just flows out of me. I even burst into song where I'm just making up words about how happy I am to be with my boys as we walk through the zoo and JJ takes off running saying, "Look day, look day, look day." He doesn't know how to say the L in look or the second D in daddy, so it's "look day." And he sees an elephant, and he's running, and he's pointing it, "Look day, look day." And he tries to say elephant in Spanish, which would be elefante, but he doesn't say the T, so it's elefante. And it's just amazing what I feel in those moments. And as soon as he sees the elephant, he turns like, "Look day, look day, look daddy, zebra, zebra." And it's zebra. And then, so we move on, and it's the gorillas, and then it's the orangutans, and it's the tigers, and it's the lions. And he's just amazed over and over again. And I'm so happy, happy for that. And while we were at the zoo and we're seeing all these things, I was reminded of my first trip to Africa, which was in 2001. I went on a mission trip and I was in South Africa and I was there with Woody. And we had a wonderful time. And we got to go on a safari and we were in Shishlui. That's the name of the place. We're in Shishlui. We went on an African safari. And what you do is you get in one of these big trucks where you're like in the back and they've got all these rails up so that you can't fall out and be eaten by something, but we're riding around and you just go for a couple hours. You're just riding out through the wilderness, really. It's nothing like a zoo. Nothing's caged in. It's like going for a ride in Jefferson Memorial Forest looking for deer. We're just riding through the woods. And we're going, and we went twice. We went one time during the day, and they said if you come during the morning, you might see a lot of stuff, the same thing you would here if you're looking for deer. So we went really early in the morning and it was still dark and we're riding along and like the headlights on the car might show you, on the truck might show you some things, but we're riding along. And then all of a sudden the guy says, "Here, take a couple of these spotlights." And we just be driving like, "Man, it's dark. I can't see anything." And all of a sudden the driver just would know and he'd say, "That's a pretty good spot. Shine that spotlight over there." And we'd take over, we'd have these giant spotlights, these massive spotlights. We'd just shoot the spotlight on and just bam, just like you would see on Discovery Channel. Whew. Eyes everywhere. We're like, "Wow, look at all these eyes. There's stuff out there." And then he'd say, all right, now turn to the other side. And he'd turn on the light. And there'd be eyes everywhere. And then he would be like, well, look down there in the bush. And so we'd be looking down here in the bush. We'd take this mega spotlight. And we'd shine it on the bushes. And sure enough, right there, the distance from like me to Miss Linda, of course, we weren't getting out of the truck, but right there hiding in the bush would be this huge leopard. And all of its beauty would just be exposed right there, where if I would have been walking, I would not have seen this thing. But on this safari, we got to see all types of things. We got to see a cheetah running like it was chasing something. We got to see rhinoceros. We got to see elephants. We got to see all of these amazing animals, giraffes. We got to see this leopard, but the light had to expose them because they were hidden. And this is the point of our text here today. Is that God is light and He exposes everything. And we people hate to be exposed. That's the truth. You and I both hate to be exposed. Nobody wants me to stand up right now and to call one of you to stand up and just to humiliate you because I know what your life is like. And I know all the mess that you found yourself in. And I know the times that you've messed up. And I know that sort of stuff, or maybe I don't, but if I did. And nobody wants that to happen. But the gospel teaches us that us people who have sinned against God, rebelled against Him, who have said in our lives, I think my way's better. In this situation right here, I just want to do what I want to do for once. It's more about me right now. And all of us have been there. But the gospel says to us, this great news, says that by faith, we come to the light, okay with being exposed, because God has a love that forgives everything that is exposed. And so as we would come to the light and say, God, here I am. Yeah. Expose me. Shine the light over me and see everything that I've done and messed up with. And God says the blood of Jesus washes that away. And so then we find ourselves right there in the light, like the leopard with the spotlight on him. There's nowhere he can go. We've seen him. We're right here before God, wide open and exposed. And he knows, he absolutely knows every filthy, hidden, sinful secret about you. Every single one about every single one of you. He knows us. And the gospel call here today, the scripture is going to call us to say, stop hiding it. Stop running from it. Get right there in the bright light of God and say, God, this is who I am. And from that point, cling to Jesus that loves you. You don't have to hide a thing. You don't have to live your life saying, man, I sure hope Josh doesn't know about what I did last night. Sure hope that the church doesn't find out this fight we had. It's nothing like that. We're not hiding anything. We stand exposed in the bright light of God to receive forgiveness and mercy and love and redemption. And at that point, we realize, wait a second. I'm a child of God. He loves me. He has adopted me. I'm His. Nothing now condemns me. There's no condemnation in Christ. And so we stand right there saying, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. And because of God's rich, deep love, which He has poured out on us, even when we sin then, our response is, yep, I hate it, but God forgives me. And we don't run and hide and say, I hope nobody knows, I hope God doesn't know, I hope I can just hurt and get past that one. No, we're exposed in God's light, and we're right there. Look with me at 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. I want to call you back to what's happening here. I said last week, it's on the front of your bulletin, that I want to call this series through 1 John, which is going to take us quite some time, Believing, Belonging, and Building. Are you believing and what are you believing? Is it right in order to be found as one who knows that you have eternal life, which He says in chapter 5? Are you belonging? Are you committed to a group of people who are there to love you and build you and strengthen you and make sure that you only are growing in Christ and that you're there in a healthy relationship with Christ? Are you committed to a church body? And are you building? Are you being built up? Do you see yourself growing? Are you becoming stronger in Christ? Three signs to show that we are there and healthy. Well, I want to remind you what is said here at the beginning of 1 John also. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Now, what's happening here is John is writing this letter to a group of believers that he knows and loves. It could be a group of people that he went to church with, or it could have been some people that he had ministered with before. It could be just a bunch of believers that he knows that are living somewhere. But he's writing this to them because the case there is the case now. We always see people who are falling away from church, who are getting out of church, who have been turned on to some new type of believing, or they've been influenced here by something that's unhealthy. And that is the case. There are people who have joined onto this other sect or this other group who are believing all types of different things. We see that going on even today. It's gone on throughout every generation. There are people who want to get past the teaching of the Bible. They want to move on to something better, or they just want to start doubting this, or they want to start not believing. And so John says, I'm going to write them a letter, because here's the thing. In chapter 5, verse 13, he says, I write these things to you who believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I want you to know that you've got eternal life. And I'm writing y'all this letter, John says, so that you would know without a shadow of a doubt, you'd be certain that you're saved, certain that you're going to heaven, certain that your sins are forgiven, certain that you're a child of God. I want you to know that. And what he says is, first of all, you've got to believe that Jesus is real, that the incarnation is real, that the Christmas that we celebrate is not just a myth, it's true. Jesus is a real person. And here's what he says. I've seen him. I've hung out with him. I've touched him. I've heard him. That the Word of life, Jesus Christ himself, became a human being. And I know him. And the message that he told to us gave us fellowship together, because we all centered around that. And even better than that, our fellowship was together because we all believe in this Jesus. But really, our fellowship is with Jesus. And so I'm writing this to you because I want you to be united with me in my fellowship with God. And our ministries here at our church should be like that. We want so much for people around us to unite with us, but not because we're great, but because we know God according to the Bible. We know God according to the Bible. That's why you see such great emphasis here on the Bible. We want to know what God is saying. And John says, listen, this Jesus, we want you to have fellowship with us, with him, and our fellowship is with him and with God. And as that happens, as I know that you people that I care about have a healthy relationship with Jesus, it makes me happy. It brings me joy. And then we come to our text today, verse 5, and here's what he says. Now, here is that message. He says, I know the real Jesus. I know what he said. I know what he looked like. I even know the kind of the jokes that he made. I knew how hardworking he was. I know what he was like. And then right here he says, here's the things he said. Here is his message. And in verse 5, we have the blanket statement. Here is the gist of his message. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you. So John and his disciples literally heard the message from Jesus, the historic Jesus, the real man. And then in his ministry, he spoke it to other people. And here's what it is. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What does light mean? What does light mean? Light means pure. Light means clean. Light means exposed. Light means bright. What does darkness mean? Darkness means unclear. Darkness means shady. Darkness means I'm trying to hide something. Darkness means the absence of light. But 1 John doesn't really get past that in explaining this to us. But I told you that John wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And John wrote the book of Revelation. And John also wrote the fourth gospel. And so turn with me quickly to John chapter 3 to see a little bit further explanation on John, on light. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. There are some things in the Bible that are difficult to understand, take a little bit more work, a little bit more study. But there are some things in the Bible that are easy to understand. And our passage here today is one of those. Everybody will leave here today understanding that God is light and we are exposed in that light. So what do we do? John chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. Remember, the message that John says he heard from Jesus and he's now telling to them that they would know they have eternal life is this: that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. There's an explanation of this message that he's heard, that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. God is light. Jesus is the light. And the light came into the world as a man, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. Very, very practically speaking, Jesus was here. He was absolutely light. He never sinned. And people said, I don't like this message. I would rather you be dead so that I can keep doing my own thing. Perhaps you've experienced this even in your own life. Perhaps you have been kind to somebody, loving to somebody, serving to somebody. Perhaps you have invited somebody to church and they've come with you, yet all you've done is serve them and love them and be kind to them. And yet their response still is, no, I kind of would rather still do my own thing. I've got my own beliefs. Me and God are okay. I mean, I know what I'm doing. I know I understand God and that sort of thing. What that means is this: that the light came into the world and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. People don't want to embrace the light. Matter of fact, they don't even want to get into the light because light exposes them. And that's what verse 20 says. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light. And rightly so. Rightly so. If you do wicked things, you're not going to like church. You're not going to like Jesus until the Holy Spirit quickens your heart. Because what Jesus does is shine like a bright light right in your face. Boom. And exposes you. And so all the filth that is inside of you is exposed. I don't like this. It's kind of dirty. I don't like this situation. And yet that's why it's my prayer that we would continue to see people come here. And our grace and our humility and our service toward them would say, wow, I want forgiveness. They don't want to retreat and close up and say, no, I don't like that. They're being exposed to light. They want to say, wow, I want forgiveness of this. I want forgiveness of this. They do not come to the light lest their works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Turn back to 1 John. This is the message, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Commentator Cruz says, this suggests that walking in the light involves a willingness to be open towards God and his revelation in Christ, while walking in the darkness involves a refusal to do this. Because it's a spotlight. It is an exposing. It is, you are right here. Now, let's think about that for a minute. Let's think about the ways that we see that practically speaking. When is it when the teenagers get unhealthy in their relationships with the opposite sex? We could let them tell us, they know. It's when the parents aren't home. It's when the parents have already gone to bed. It's when the lights have been dimmed and the movie's on. When they begin to make out and get into the things. For if the lights were turned on all of a sudden, or if the parents were watching TV with them, the sin would not continue because you're exposed and it's filthy and it makes you feel dirty and it makes your pastor feel dirty. Because we're exposed. It's shocking how much we hear of pornography destroying the men of this country. And when is it that they look at the porn? Most often when their wives have gone to bed. How many young men do I know who have talked to me about sometimes their wife goes to bed and they stay up a little bit later because they're reading or studying or they're checking their email and one thing leads to a next, and while everybody else is asleep and nobody knows and it's dark and nobody's going to find out, they're on the computer and porn gets them. There's no light there. Nothing is exposing that. Nobody's seeing it. The darkness is there and our wickedness just multiplies. And yet we need so badly to be exposed. We need it so badly to be exposed. Verse 6 of our passage, we move right along. If God is light, in him is no darkness at all. That's the message that you heard from Jesus. Now, John begins in verses 6 through 10 to explain that a little bit. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. So now what he's doing is he's talking clearly to Christians. First John is written to Christians. It's written to people that he wants them to know because they're believing that they have eternal life. But he wants to draw a divide between these people who have left, who have kind of moved on to bigger and better things, they would say. And he wants to expose them and he wants to draw the others back. He wants them to get connected with what is right. He wants them to be believing, belonging, and being built up. And he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Well, why would he say that? Because here's why. Jesus is light. And what Jesus does on his people continually, every single day of your life, is expose you. Jesus' work is to expose you. Jesus' work is to shine brightly on you so that you see your wicked heart and your sinfulness and calls you to respond in repentance. The most perfect place to be for the Christian, regardless how long you've been a believer, is in faith and repentance right there. Daily saying, God, have mercy upon me. I believe in Jesus' death on the cross to save me. And if you are right there, you cannot grow anymore. You cannot get any stronger. That is where you want to be. Growth in the Christian life is when daily you repent for your sins and you cling to Jesus as a Savior and you want to stay right there. And the light of God does that. He exposes us. This is why you've heard me say that your scripture intake and the need to be here on a Sunday morning is so important, because scripture is one of the ways that Jesus shines as a light and exposes us. But I think about somebody who can miss Sunday morning here, and then next week they've got nursery, and then the next week they're sick, and then they go 3 weeks without hearing a sermon and they're not here, and maybe they haven't read their Bibles at home, and they're not being exposed as much. So we have our sin, and we're maybe not there on the repenting aspect and the believing aspect of the Christian life. There is a need to be here. There's a need for you to hear preaching. What Jesus does is He exposes us. And so if He is a light that exposes us, and then you say that you have fellowship with Him, and yet you're walking in darkness, that's a lie. That is an absolute lie. It's an absolute lie. And you do not practice the truth. What does He mean by the truth? The truth is that I treasure up the Word of God. That there is on some level a commitment between the believer, you, the church member, and the Word. That this is my manual. This is what God is saying to me. I listen to what God says, and I know it. That's why we memorize Scripture now on Wednesday nights. And that's why it's so encouraging to know, because what the Word of God does is it speaks to us, and it keeps us from sinning against Him, Psalm 119:11, and it trains us in righteousness, and it makes us more like God. And so as we know this, we think to ourselves, okay, God is a light. God hates sin. And so if we are knowing that and we're in the know on that, and yet we continue to do the darkness, we continue to do things that God hates, we continue to say, I'm living for me, we continue to rebel against God, then very obviously you're not standing right there in the bright light saying, I'm exposed before you, God. Here's all of me and everything that's filthy and dirty. I repent of. God, remove it. God, please wash this away from me. I want to be pure like you are. I want to love you. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, yet we walk in the darkness, we're lying. We are absolutely lying. We do not practice the truth. Danny Aiken writes, John affirms that God is light and has no darkness in Him at all, in order to rule out claims to fellowship with Him by those walking in the darkness. And as a preacher, I want to say, is this not common sense, right? Is this not obvious? I mean, the person who has not had good, healthy belief in Jesus in a really, really long time, and the person who does not find themselves committed to a church, and the person who has not read the Bible in a really long time, and so therefore, I just give those three examples, and there's many, many more. And so therefore, the person who really, hear me, has nothing in their life to do with Jesus, toward Jesus, walking with Jesus, yet says that they have fellowship with Him, it seems like that's a lie. And they're not practicing the truth, as this would say. Practicing the truth. If you say you've got fellowship with God, yet your whole life is about darkness, what's the conclusion? You're a lie. And you do not practice the truth. And so, hear me for a second. Why do we boast that there are so many Christians, or that there's so many Southern Baptists? The stat is something like 8 million Southern Baptists in America, 1 million go to church. 8 million Southern Baptists in America, 1 million go to church. And so there's 7 million who are really saved, they just don't walk in darkness. So there's 7 million, or something roughly to it, who are a lie. Who do not practice the truth. They don't walk in the light and be exposed and say, Jesus, yes, I'm a sinner. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay that I'm a sinner. Why am I okay that I'm a sinner? Because Jesus saves sinners. The people that are a lie walk in darkness and want to try to convince you that they don't. That is a lie. That is an outright lie. Where are the people who say, I am a sinner and I'm glad to be a sinner because Jesus saves sinners? Here's who I am. I make mistakes and I get mad at JJ. I make mistakes and I get upset with my wife. I make mistakes and I get proud and I get arrogant. I make mistakes all the time, and that's who your pastor is. Somebody who messes up on a regular basis. I'm not going to deny it. That's who I am. I told the men's Bible study Wednesday morning of a big mistake that I made this past week in hopes that they, well, taking the chance that they could fire me. I don't think it was worth firing, but they could have made it into a big deal and made it bigger than something that it was, and they could have fired me. But their pastor also said that it killed me, it hurt me, and I had to go and get alone and say, God, forgive me. Because the light has exposed me, and this is who I am. I'm somebody who loves Jesus because I need Jesus. And that is what Christians are. We need Him. We need Him. We need Him. Please see Jesus as a spotlight over you, exposing you. And when you are exposed of your sins, and you know your sins, you know your filth, you know your anger, your pride, your sin, and when you see that, run to the cross and say, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden that you hide and you keep in the darkness that does nothing for you, the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now, exposed in the light, now, seen by God, now, with all of my sins right there in God's sight, now I am happy all the day. Not because I'm good, because Jesus forgives me of my sins. That is why you hear me say every Sunday and every Wednesday that we ought to be the most humble, the most serving people Fairdale has ever seen. We'll do anything for anybody, and we will not elevate ourselves above anybody else. How can we? The light on us exposes us. We're worse than them. We are worse than the people who aren't in church because we think so highly of ourselves. Oh, we need the light to expose us so that we would run to Christ and we would start practicing the truth. The youth know it, and we know it too, that y'all would be absolutely disgusted, and so would us adults, if we knew what your lives were like. When you hang out with your girlfriend on a Saturday night and nobody knows, we're not foolish. We once were teenagers too. Is the light there exposing you and driving you towards purity and driving you towards a practice of the truth? Or do you just long for your parents to leave so that the house is empty, so that somebody can come over? Just try your best to push away the light and remain in the darkness and do not practice the truth. Verse 7. But, he gives the other side of that. There is a healthy way to be exposed. But, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's a way to be exposed in the light. And the answer to this is not what Baptists or Christians have said for the last 100 years, that we're better than everybody else, that we're all clean now and everything's good. No, it means that we are living daily in repentance, continual repentance. We are living in humility. We are living with, yes, I need a Savior. Yes, I need forgiveness. Yes, I really, really, really need Jesus. So that when somebody comes to you and they say, look, man, you're just kind of dropping the ball lately. Are you okay? They do it in love. You don't respond with, who are you? You trying to call me out? You think you're better than me? We don't respond with that. Our response to any rebuke would be, no, you're right. Thank God Jesus saved me. You know, you're right. I have been really jerkish lately. You know, you're right. You're right, Josh. You hit the nail on the head. My relationship with my girlfriend is pretty dirty. You're right. My relationship with my boyfriend is disastrous. That's the person that walks in the light. You're not going to hear me say the person that walks in the light got the good, clean, pretty life. We don't have those type of people here. We don't want those type of people here. Your pastor's not one of those either. I'm not the one who's got everything figured out. I'm not the one that doesn't mess up. I'm not the one who's got everything going perfect. I'm the one who walks in the light because there is where forgiveness is found. There's no forgiveness in the darkness. The light comes, exposes the darkness, and the people who love Jesus say, yes, yes, I don't have to keep living in guilt and trash and running from it. I don't have to keep the conversation going so there's not a gap in the conversation so that Christian can't mention to me the things that will expose me. You know what I'm talking about? The light exposes people. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What does it mean we have fellowship with each other if we're in the light? Because you know, when you have sin in your life, you're not open and comfortable with each other. When you have sin in your life, like you've been doing some bad things lately, you've been rebelling against God, you're not open and comfortable with each other. And our whole relationship is built on a pretense. It's fake. We're not there. Our hearts aren't united. You don't mean it when you say you're going to be praying for me. Because there's sin in your life. You're probably not even going to pray because of the sin. But if you did go to pray, then your sin, your prayers would be repentance toward God for that sin. See, fellowship is based upon us being in the light. It's not based upon us having it all figured out. It's based upon us being in the light. We are God's people, fully humbled, fully exposed, needing Christ. That's a good church. I pray God would move us to that. A good church is every single one of us saying, wow, I need Christ. I need Christ so much. I need mercy. I need forgiveness. I need my sins to be washed away. I need my pride to go away. I need to love that person the way Jesus would. Instead of making fun of them because of various things. Instead of laughing at them because they aren't as smart as me. Don't know how to pronounce words correctly as me. Their subject-verb agreement's not as good as me. Their shirt doesn't cover up their whole body as much as mine. Yet we have fellowship when our hearts are pure and right. We have fellowship together when we're exposed. And yet we're humble. And yet we love Jesus because of it. Verse 7. Commentator Cruz says, walking in the light does not mean that those who do so never sin. But they do not seek to hide that fact from God. What a difference. What a revolution this would be for a church, for Christianity. What a freedom this would be for you to realize this. When 1 John says, when you walk in the light as He is in the light, it's not talking about you stopping sinning. It's talking about you being broken over your sin and saying, God, you know it all. You know this. It means that when you rode to church this morning and you and your spouse were arguing and your kids heard it, it means that when you have been arguing all morning and you're running late and you yelled at them or you snapped at them or sin was in your heart over such matters, that you don't just get here and think, okay, let's don't let anybody know it. It means you get here and before we even have the call to worship or before we sing the first songs, you're going to pause. And you're going to close your eyes and you're going to take a minute. Perhaps you take the silence before the sermon. You say, God, purify my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I don't want my child to see me speaking that way. God, I don't want to speak that way. And I'm not about to hear a sermon and be changed by it. And I'm not about to sing, alas, and did my Savior bleed from a pure heart. And this next hour is going to be a joke and it's going to be a waste, God, because there's sin in my heart. But the light says that's exposed. And God, you know it. You know that I just messed up. God, that was the worst car ride. I shouldn't have acted like that. Christians are those that walk in the light, not because they don't sin, but because they confess their sin to God. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here is what makes all of this make sense. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. But we are all darkness. We are all darkness. Romans chapter 3 says that there is none that are good. No, not one. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, good teacher, Jesus says, why are you calling me good? There's nobody good. Except God alone. Jesus was meaning, do you understand that I'm God or do you not? There's nobody good. There's nobody good here. And so, so when we realize that we're not good, that we have rebelled against God, and that the wages of sin is death, then we must turn to God for forgiveness. And God's forgiveness is found through the death of His Son and the shedding of His blood. If you're here today and you've never been saved, then please hear the good news. that God killed His Son so that you could have fellowship with Him. And His blood shed on the cross is like an eraser on a chalkboard. It washes away your sins. So that when God shines the light on you and exposes you, you see your sin. You say, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me, please. He forgives you. The blood cleanses you. And now you are there before Him, broken and ready to be accepted by Him. And He loves you, He loves you, and He loves you because of Jesus. And there you have fellowship, because the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all our sin. See, sin prohibits fellowship. So if sin is removed and cleansed, then there is fellowship. But if the sin is not exposed and removed, there is no fellowship. Not between you and me, and not between you and God. It would be built on something fake. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. This is saying the same thing as verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The key word here in verse 8 is deceive. You deceive yourselves. There's such a principle in Christianity that must be embraced, that you deceive yourselves. There is a way that seems right unto man, but its end is death. You can be wrong. You can be wrong. You can deceive yourself. Please do not trust in your own heart. But trust in God and His truth. That's why Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Stuart Scott, in his new book on biblical manhood, writes this. Biblical manhood. Therefore, a man must be aware, contrary to what his pride or his society may tell him, that he can be very wrong. Man, did you hear me? A man must be aware. He must be aware that contrary to what he thinks and contrary to what society may tell him, he can be very wrong. At the core of his very being, there is an innate wrongness that will be with him until he reaches heaven. We can deceive ourselves. And every time you think that you're okay, every time you think that you don't need the gospel, every time you think you need to move past Jesus, every time you think that you haven't sinned or there's no sin in you, you need to be brought back to the fact that you are deceiving yourself. And the truth is not in you. Because the truth is that you need Christ all the time. You need the light of God exposing you 24/7. And your response to the light 24/7 must be, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Just as Emily sang correctly, I believe, but help my unbelief, is where we need to be all the time. Jesus, more of you, more of you, more of you. In verse 9, he gives us an answer for this. So if we've sinned, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. God will forgive us of our sins. He will cleanse us from this. He will purify us if we confess. So in other words, the light exposing us is a good thing. Absolutely. I encourage you today as a church, if you are a real Christian, to love the light and love that God exposed you and says, look, you're a jerk. Look, you're rude. Look, you are selfish, selfish. Look, you just tithed half of what you should have. Let God expose you for your sins. And realize you don't have to hide that from God. You shouldn't hide that from God. But instead, you do verse 9. You confess your sins and you realize that God is faithful and He is just, He will forgive you of your sins. See, us Christians, God is not, there is no condemnation in Christ. There is never, ever, ever going to be a time when a Christian is condemned. It's impossible. Jesus died for you. He suffered for you. He took your sin upon the cross and was killed and murdered for you. God is never going to condemn you. So today you mess up and you sin, say, God, I sinned. Please forgive me. I hate it. Forgive me. And He does. There is no condemnation in Christ. If we confess our sins, guys, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. There's only four other times in the New Testament where confession of sin is mentioned. Twice in the Gospels, when John the Baptist is baptizing and he tells the people to come and confess their sins and be baptized. In James chapter 5, he says to confess your sins. And in Acts chapter 19, he tells the people in Ephesus to confess their sins. In all four of those times, it's a public confession. It's a public confession, which means, and y'all can put two and two together, a public confession would mean that we are laid bare and open before each other. What you see is what you get. I am not perfect. I've messed up, but Jesus forgives me, and you should too if you're the people of God. And then we are strengthened together in our humility, in our brokenness, in our hatred of sin and our need for forgiveness, and we are united in love and we live in that. Our fellowship comes from that. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then he ends with verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Now, before you start to think, well, I never say that I don't sin, I conclude every one of my prayers with, forgive us for all the ways we've wronged you. I want to point out that it's not just saying, are you a sinner? It's being aware and alive to your sin. It's being awakened and alive and aware of your sin, your pride, your snobbish attitude, your ability to look down upon somebody, your ability to think, well, I mean, they do those type of things. You know, they steal. I can't believe somebody stole our air conditioner. I would never do that. Yet you would do something else. You would be lazy. You'd cuss at home to your children or grandchildren, but never let anybody know about it. You'd get embarrassed if the children came to church and said, yeah, my dad cusses all the time. What do you got to be embarrassed of? If the light exposes you, right? You know what? I don't like to cuss. Slip up sometimes, but didn't Jesus die for my sins? Absolutely. I hate it every time. See what I'm saying? The light exposes that. But if you think or say, or even so much better, act like you don't sin, or like your sins are minimal, you are lying, as verse 6 says. And even worse, you make God a liar. And His word is not in you. Because His word says that He is a spotlight. Wow. Exposing you. And the light says, there's no darkness in me at all. And your response to the light, which is taught in the Word, is saying, God, forgive me. God, forgive me of my sins. For some of us, it may be some really big sins, what we would call big sins. Some of y'all may get drunk all the time. You may go crazy. You may cheat on your wife. And may look at porn at night. You may do some crazy stuff. And for some of us, it may be the little things that nobody ever knows about. Maybe these little sins that we think are little. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. Because God has said that my people hate sin. Do you make God a liar? Or do you live in the spotlight of the holiness of God, of the beauty of Jesus, and say, I need Him? Because every time you hide your sin, you say there's no need for Jesus. But every time your sin is revealed and confessed, you say, I need Jesus. So what we should be as a church, and I pray from this day forward, we would be as a church in the community, is this. A bunch of people broken over our sins, saying daily, everywhere we go, wow, I need Jesus. Wow, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I need His forgiveness. The invitation today is for every single one of us, those who are in a healthy relationship with Christ right now and those who aren't, to cry out to Him right now, saying, God, I don't want to make You a liar. I need forgiveness. You here today need forgiveness. And we need to be walking in the light as His light exposes us and opens us up. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we worship You. We thank You so much for 1 John. God, John was writing to his people and wanted them to know what the real thing looked like. And those who are the real thing are those who are not afraid of the light. It's like the teenager that can hang out with their girlfriend all the time in the light with their parents during the daytime because they're not doing anything shady. The light exposes that. Father, I pray that Your light would expose us here today, God. And what we would see during this invitation time is all of Your saints in Fairdale responding, saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me for being so arrogant. Forgive me for thinking that I don't really sin. I went all day yesterday without sinning. Yeah, right. God, please, don't let us make You a liar. Work here today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.